Bibles tonight, go ahead and be turning to Philippians chapter 4, meantime. Everybody remember Brother Dave and his family, COVID-19 hitting there with his daughter. Remember that? We've seen it hit families and go all the way through a family before. So remember them, that the Lord will take care of those folks. Remember each and every one of them. Say again, remember our county, our community, remember the sick in the county here. Remember the boxes that we're going to do to Africa, the container that we're going to get these in. Remember that. We've got to raise probably $3,200 to be able to ship those. We're going to have a work thing here at the church one Saturday. Me and Greg's been talking about it. Everybody remember that in your prayers. Probably going to be maybe the 1st of September or something, or maybe the last of August or something. We'll get together and do that. But let's see. That's all I had there. I'm just remember them though, that they'll be fine through all this and take care of them. We know the Lord will take care of them. Ephesians here in chapter 4, or Philippians here in chapter 4, verses 5, 6, and 7, it says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let's see. Right here in verse 5, but in everything by prayer. That's something that, prayer is something that we just don't do enough of. I think right now, the times that we're in, if prayer is the only thing that's going to get us through this, the Lord can do anything that we ask Him to do. I know that. I know He. I feel like sometimes, like we was in the prayer room there, Matt, this here, he was talking about prayer there earlier. Just feel sometimes whenever I go to bed at night that maybe that day I didn't pray like I should have that day, or you know, I mess up from time to time, but I ask for forgiveness. And having salvation, we can ask for forgiveness. If we don't have it, we can't. So we can still ask, but whether it's going anywhere or not, it's two different things there. So just remember the little church. Ask the deacons to come forth. We'll take up the offering as Ronnie leads us in a song. Alan, you want to lead us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy that has brought us here again tonight. We want to Lord come with our hearts full of set upon worship and praise and thanksgiving. We look forward to your God's message from Brother Mark. We have so much joy in your message this morning. We pray you strengthen and bless him. You're going to give us the message that where it was right from your lips, Lord, your hands. Use him as an instrument, God. Now we pray this offering might be used for your building my kingdom. Bless those who give and those who desire to give. We ask it for Son's name. Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody, please stand and turn to page 307.
Leaning on the everlasting God.
Tracy, you ready to go? You better get ready. After Tracy sings, we'll ask Brother Mike to come forth and give us what the Lord laid on his heart tonight. And it's been a pleasure having him here this weekend. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Y'all pray for me. You know, I always have to have it. Go ahead, dry the nails in my hands, laugh at me. Here.
He's coming back.
Amen.
Ain't nobody gonna spit on it again.
That's right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
My hands are sweaty. Just suppose God searched through heaven, he couldn't find one willing to be the supreme sacrifice that was needed, that would buy eternal life for you and me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost. I'm so glad he was willing to take that bitter cup.
Amen.
Although we pray, Father, let it pass from me. I'm so glad he didn't call heaven's angel from my hands, nails torment me. Oh, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for the old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, then forever my soul would be lost.
Amen.
Well, glory to God. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but the Lord has already met with us.
Amen.
Good to be in the house of God tonight. I'd like you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 12. I just received a phone call from a pastor this afternoon, a good preacher friend of mine. We'll have a mission conference in September, first week of October, September 30th, and through the 4th of October, and there's another case of the COVID in his church. I'd like you to pray, if you will, for Brother Jimmy Aubrey. They're putting him on the ventilator, so they're very concerned. This is the same church that had the daughter, Miss Kayla, that we prayed for, and God took care of Miss Kayla. The baby turned it out to be perfectly fine, and Miss Kayla's symptoms of her liver just kind of seemed to disappear, so God answered it the way we wanted it to be answered. But church, can I tell you tonight that true peace comes when you allow God to answer your prayer the way He chooses.
Amen.
Amen. So many times we try to push God around and say, well, I've prayed, I've fasted, I'm doing everything you told me to do, and I want you to answer this prayer. Hezekiah didn't ask God for his will. He just prayed that God would heal him. God did, and he ended up producing the wickedest king that Israel had ever known, ever seen, or ever had. So sometimes it's best not to get our prayers answered our way, amen? But do pray for Brother Jimmy and Pastor Lynn Janey and the church down there. A great work, a great church. God's doing a wonderful work there in that place. If you found your place in Hebrews chapter number 12, you're able to do so tonight with me if you'd stand. I'll just read the first couple of verses, 1 through 3. I'll make my prayer and then you can be seated. Wherefore, seeing, I like in the wherefore, you go back up into chapter 11 verse 40, it says, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Hallelujah. We need the Lord to be made perfect, don't we? And then in verse 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, Father in heaven, we bow before you tonight with your word in our hands. Lord, your message, Father, to be proclaimed to the people. And Lord, we're in your house. I'm thankful for meeting with us, Lord. There's no doubt the Spirit of God has been ushered into this place, Lord, through the worship songs tonight. I'm thankful for them. Lord Jesus, now I pray that you would fill me with your Spirit. Speak through me, Lord, tonight. Help me. I sure need you, Lord. And we do lift up Brother Jimmy and the church there, Ridgeway Baptist Church, Father. We lift up Pastor Barnhouse and Maggie and Emily, Lord, and the boys. And Father, we just ask you to please continue to have your will and your way. And Lord Jesus, I personally grant you full privilege, Lord, to answer these prayer requests the way you want to. And Lord, I'll thank you for each outcome, Lord, and praise you for it. In Jesus' beautiful name we pray, amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. The author and finisher of our faith. I taught Sunday school class this morning out of Psalm chapter number 24. I love the book of Psalms. I challenge each and every one of you in this room during these days, if you will, and really just to make it a practice throughout the rest of your life. It has so helped me to grow spiritually. It's helped me to understand who God is, and it gives me the thrill to serve Him. I recommend 5 chapters a day of the book of Psalms. Whatever the day is in the month, just read. Today's the 9th, so I read verses 40 through or 41 through 45. And I challenge you to do that. I've been doing it for probably at least 20 years now, and it never gets old. You have King David, who's the author over half of the book of Psalms, and he's a mighty warrior. In one instance, he's over here killing Goliath and cutting his head off with Goliath's sword that was probably taller than he was. And we don't often quite think exactly what took place after that, but that young man, that ruddy boy, not only cut his head off, but he takes the armor, takes the sword, takes the head of Goliath that probably weighed 70 pounds, and drug it up the hill out of that valley to present it to King Saul. There's work in the ministry in there. There's work. But yet on the same sense, we have him over on this other side writing some magnificent poetry and songs about his praise and praising him and talking and describing who the Lord God of heaven really is. And in Psalm 24, he says he is the King of glory. Amen. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. We of all people should rejoice in these days. Amen, Brother Van Horn. That's good preaching. The days are hard. I understand that. But when we listen to that song and know that nobody's going to nail him to a cross again, amen? And even though we haven't seen him any time of our life, unless you've seen him in your Bible like I have, it's wonderful. We haven't laid our hands on him. He's not tangible, but one day he will be. Because my God is not a liar. The book says it's impossible for him to lie.
Amen.
He can't change. He can't lie. And glory to God, he can't let anybody into heaven unless they've been born again.
Amen.
And when you're born again, the Spirit of God comes in. He wakens up your dead spirit because of trespasses and sins, makes your spirit alive, breathes the breath of life into your spirit, just like he breathed the breath of life into the soul of Adam. And now you're spiritually alive. You can comprehend what he's trying to say in his word. If you will take the time to read 5 chapters of the Psalms a day for the rest of your life, you'll be amazed what God will do for you. I promise you. All you'd have to do is get up 10 minutes early. Set your alarm 10 minutes early, 5 chapters of Psalms, and of course I always recommend a chapter of Proverbs. you will be absolutely overwhelmed what God will do with you. Now, you'd all think I'd be preaching out of the book of Psalms tonight, wouldn't you? Well, I'm not. But I'm preaching out of the book. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith. I thought about that song as I look at this verse. And do you see it was a joy for him to go to the cross? The Bible says in verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. The trial, knowing that he would be spit upon, knowing that they would pluck his beard out, knowing that they would thrash his body with a cat of nine tails, leaving his back totally exposed and his innards hanging out and literally torn to a point where he was unrecognizable by anyone, including his mother. But because he was God, boy, he never hit that switch, that breaker switch that's built into all man that can only endure so much pain and then they just pass out. He took the pain, endured the cross, and said it was joyful to do so. Well, what made it joyful is us. He realized that by going to the cross, there would be an entire people group, if you will, that would spend eternity in heaven with him for all eternity. That's what made it joyful for him. And church, honestly, it should be joyful for us to share that story with others. It grieves my heart when you talk with people and ask them if they just pass out a gospel track or leave a gospel track on their counter at work, and they'll say, "Oh no, I don't want any confrontation or confrontation. Amen. I don't want to have to deal with that." And I think to myself, "What's wrong with you? Are you really saved?" I'm not talking about starting a fight, but my soul, I love talking about the Lord. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 16, and I'll read it to you. I love this chapter and these verses. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord, the people that dwell in his presence, that enjoy his company, enjoy his fellowship, enjoy who he is because of what he's done for us, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it." Now listen to this, church. "And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." A book of remembrance. Everything we've ever said, every thought we've ever had about him, we've got a heavenly secretary penning it down, putting it in a book in the library in the glory. Amen? Man. I don't know about you, but when somebody writes a book, they write it for one intention, to be read. And we got all eternity. I think maybe we'll be up in heaven and all of a sudden we'll hear our name over the loudspeaker and somebody we were conversing with about God. And he'll call our names and say, "Come on down to the library. I want to hear what you and this fella here had to say about me." Amen. It was wonderful. And then we'll read the books. I don't know. We're going to have a long time in heaven. Amen. Amen. And there'll be no more sin. But listen to what verse 17 says. The people that feared the Lord, the people that talked about the Lord, the people that thought upon his name. Verse 17 says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord." He lays claim to us. He says, "That's my boy. That's my little girl. They're mine." And listen to what he says. And in that day, and there's a day coming. I don't know about you all, but I'm about to get happy here tonight. Amen? Amen. "In that day," he said, "when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Now listen, church, I believe this with all my heart. There's going to be different levels of joy in heaven. I mean, we're all going to be joyful. We're never going to have to experience any pain or suffering. But I think those that have served the Lord fully with their heart, those that enjoy talking about him, those that want to win souls to Christ, those that are a part of the local church, that stand behind the man of God, that work and labor to see souls come to Christ, I believe that there will be special rewards and special things laid up in store for them. Amen?
Amen.
And I got to thinking about this word, the great cloud of witnesses. the great cloud of witnesses. Now, I may remind you, and we're not going there tonight, but in chapter 11, it's known as the faith chapter, and he goes through a great list of those that's gone on before us that did great works, Moses and Abraham and Noah and others, and he told, just rehearsed those stories. You know what you'll find in your Bible as you start from cover to cover? You'll find the stories taking place, then throughout the rest of the Bible, God just rehearses them and reminds us of them, especially the book of Psalms. You'll hear the entire history of the from beginning to end in the book of Psalms over and over. It's amazing. It's like the Bible summarized, if you will. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's talking about Jesus, amen? I mean, in Psalm chapter number 22, it's a direct description of Calvary. And you can see it scattered throughout the pages, dealing with going through the Red Sea is in the book of Psalms. It's absolutely incredible. And those people, those men that have gone on before us, and those women that have gone on before us accomplishing great and mighty things for the cause of Christ, I believe they are able to witness what's going on down here. Now, don't hold me to that. Whether they're looking over the balcony of heaven and seeing, I don't know. I really don't. But I do know this. We have their witness in the book. We know what they've done for us. But there's also, and I thank God for this, a cloud of witnesses in my life that's made me who I am today. I thank God for my preacher. I thank God for Pastor Gary Lucas. He's now a missionary in Russia. He's been there for over 20-some years now. Just a little old skinny single man. I got out of the Air Force. My wife got pregnant with Joshua. I told my wife, I'm going to raise our family in church. We found that little church. They opened up the King James Bible, sang a few hymns, and that preacher thundered truth. Amen. He taught me basic Bible doctrine that I really didn't know. We were out of church by the time I was in the ninth grade of school. So all I had was just the things that you learn as a child and from ninth grade on. But I thank God that he, when he came inside of me, made me a new creature. Sin was ugly to me. Amen. I'm not saying I was perfect. I was far from it. But I will tell you this, I never enjoyed it. If you can enjoy your sin, my dear friend, I'd do a little checking up on your salvation. Amen. But I thank God that preacher stuck with us. He taught me how to love my wife, and more importantly, he taught my wife how to love me. Hallelujah. Taught me the importance of forgiveness. Taught me the value in forgiving people that's done you wrong. And I'll tell you one of the greatest lessons he taught me. Now, I'd helped this particular individual. I would work for him. I'd come and help him do so many things, hours and hours and hours. I would work for him and do things for him, but I could never get him to come help me. I just needed an electric box put in my garage, and I had no idea at that time how to do it, and I just couldn't get him to come to help. He was always too busy with his things, and I asked my pastor. I said, Pastor, is it wrong for me just to expect him to help me a little bit? He said, yep. I said, wait a minute. I'm spending hours and hours and hours helping this man freely because I love him, and I just need him to help me a little bit, and he won't. Is it wrong for me to expect that? He said, yep. He said, Mike, if you do things for people expecting them to do something for you, you'll always be disappointed and you'll always be bitter. And I was only 24, 25 years old when I learned that, but that shaped me into a man that willingly gives, expecting nothing in return. And I'll tell you something, there's a lot of peace in that. It's better to give than to receive, amen. I love helping people, but I don't expect anybody to come running to me to rescue me, amen. I don't. Because if I did, I'd say, well, that sorry low-down hound, amen. I did all this for him, and I can't, right? But he taught me those things. I'm thankful for a mom that prayed. Amen. I remember those times when we would go to church and that little old mama of mine would pray that my dad would get saved. And that little old mama would pray for us boys. She dragged us to church. She made sure we were in. You know what? She made sure I was in church the day I got saved. Hallelujah. What if she'd have missed that day? I may have missed getting saved. Amen. I'm thankful for a mama. I'm thankful for Dr. Ron Garris. He was a hard preacher. Boy, he was a hard man. Taught hard things. I'll never forget our prison prevention curriculum was just, our prison prevention public school ministry was just coming into existence. And the two men that initially started it, both of them within a short period of time left the ministry, left the entire prison prevention possibilities, will you, hanging in a balance. I wanted to get into the public schools. I wanted to help those kids see the truth before they ended up in prison. So between Brother Rick Hildebrand being the director of the youth work and myself being just being there and working in the youth department, Brother Ron Garris took the prison prevention and kind of began to oversee it. And we're sitting in a room having a little brief meeting, and I'll never forget this as long as I live. And in the brochure that we were handing out said that devotions will be written on a regular basis given to the children that sign up for the prison prevention. And I said, well, Dr. Garris, I said, I'm reading this brochure, and we probably ought to rephrase some things because there's nobody writing any devotions right now. And here I am, O ye of little faith, saying we need to just take that out and not do it. And that dear old man of God about come across that table and ripped my tongue right out of my head and said, why don't you write, Jack? That was his favorite pet word. Everybody was Jack, amen. You don't like it, Jack? Run 90 miles an hour right into my fist. He just had them old annex. Everybody loved him for who he was. But I mean, he was mad. He said, why don't you write? Well, I'd just been in the ministry for a short time. I had a hard time writing my name, let alone writing anything. But he encouraged me. And I left that place thinking to myself, maybe I should write. And can I tell you, I've authored a book, a book on fasting. I've got another book on three things God can't do. I write daily devotion. I don't write them every day. I probably get maybe 10 or 15 a month out. Thousands of them have been written over the last 20 years. It's just amazing how many things the Lord has allowed me to write and send out via the internet all around the world. I'm glad he was in my life to encourage me, to help me to see the importance of writing. Oh, I wish our independent Baptist movement would spend more time writing. Get yourself some great Christian men in your cloud of witnesses, because you have a cloud of people that are witnessing you, people at your job, your family members. They're watching you go through this time and seeing how you are going to react in this time. And many of them are looking for somebody that has the answers. And church, we have them. We have the answers.
Amen.
We do. But that word cloud sparked my interest as I read that verse. And the word cloud's used 94 times in the Bible. I like looking up phrases and seeing different phrases. You know when Jesus prayed on the cross and said, not my will, but thine be done? We're always, and I made a reference to it at the beginning, we're always asking God to answer the prayers the way we want to. Do you know that phrase, not my will, but thine be done? Not my will is only used in one verse, and it's when Jesus said that to God about the cross. One time. We're so concerned about ourselves. And here we have this word cloud. The first time we see it, go with me this morning or this evening to the book of Genesis, chapter number 9. The flood has come. The judgment of God has been passed. And now we have God speaking to Noah in chapter number 9 and verse 12. And God said, this is the token of the covenant, the promise, which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations from now until we see his face, is what he's saying. And then he says in verse 3, or 13, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall no more become the flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. The first time we see the cloud, God is in the backdrops, if you will, of the symbol of judgment. The symbol of judgment. God put the cloud, put the bow in the cloud for the world to know that he destroyed the earth with water, but he'll never do it again. Amen. But he did it in his presence. You see, that cloud represents the presence of God. If there's one book that has changed my life beside the Bible, it's a book entitled The Fear of God. And it was written by S. Franklin Logston. Now, it's very interesting, this fact. S. Franklin Logston sat on the council of the New Internet or the New American Standard Version Bible. And he had got to a place where he thought he was I'll call him a Dr. Doolittle, amen. Thought he was outsmarting God and thought that the Bible needed to be changed or corrected in some way or shape or form. And he sat on that council. But in the end of his days, he recanted what he did, confessed to God that it was wrong, asked God to forgive him, and made the statement that the King's Bible is exactly God's Word. Amen?
Amen.
Now, he has several different books that he's written. I've read them all. I love his writings. They're incredible. But there's no copyright on The Fear of God. So I've taken that book in honor of my Lord, as well as in honor of S. Franklin Logston, gone through the entire book. Whenever there's an old English word that he uses, he's an old, was a very educated man, and he'd use words sometimes this long, you know, and I didn't even know what they were. So I'd look them up in the dictionary, and in brackets, I'd put a short definition. But I changed all the scripture that he had used from a different version back to King James. It's almost back in print. But that book dealt with understanding and living in the presence of God at all times. It's constantly in my preaching. I make reference to the presence of God all the time because it's what made me who I am. It's what gives me the desire to witness. It's what gives me the ability to witness, the ability to preach, the ability to oversee a ministry as such as God has given me, because I enjoy dwelling in His presence. And that cloud really represents His promise. It's a promise that he's a promise keeper. Amen?
Amen.
His presence was in the back of that rainbow. Now, it's interesting that the world has taken the rainbow and uses it as a symbol of sin. Amen? Well, did you know that that rainbow that they use is missing a color? They only have 6 colors in their rainbow. They're missing the color indigo. And indigo is the color right in between purple and blue. But they took it out. You see, actually, instead of having 7 colors, which means it's perfect, they only have 6. And if that crowd would just get Jesus in their life, amen, they'd be perfect too.
Amen.
Jesus told us in Hebrews 13:5, He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You believe that?
Amen.
Then we can't live in fear during the COVID.
Right.
We can't. I know there's people dying. I know that, and I'm not taking that lightly. And God knows that, and we'll pray for them, and we'll ask God to help them. But we cannot run and hide when we have the presence of God available in our lives. We've got to continue on, and we've got to do it with joy in our heart, trusting and knowing that Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I hope you sensed His presence today. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad when He said shall, He means shall? I'm glad I don't have to wonder or worry whether I'm going to heaven. I did it according to His Word. I realized there was nothing good inside of me. I realized I was a sinner, and because of my sin, I was destined to hell. I realized that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, came through the virgin birth of Mary, lived 33 and a half sinless years, died on that cross of Calvary, brother, but they're never going to put Him in there again.
Amen.
Rose from the grave 3 days later, and He said, if you'll believe in the gospel and if you're willing to come to Me and ask Me for My righteousness in your life, He said, I'll give it to you.
Amen.
It's not my righteousness. You know what I did when I got saved? I gave God permission to work through me.
Amen.
That's all I've done. God, here's my body, here's my mouth, here's my feet. I want you to display yourself to the world through me. That's what true salvation is. That's what true service is. My works are like filthy rags if I try and do it. And if I try and imitate God, what is that? But I want God to imitate himself through me. I want people to see God through me, not me. Amen. Aren't you glad whosoever shall call upon him? It's so simple. These people I talk to, they think it's so difficult. And when you share with them how simple it is, sometimes it's like a light bulb comes on. It's that simple. It sure is. And many of them will pray and invite the Lord into their hearts. Aren't you glad he's a promise keeper when he said, given, it shall be given unto you? Amen. He said, in good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Whether it's your time, whether it's your talents, or whether it's your treasures, the more you give of yourself, the more God gives to you. Amen.
Amen.
I thank the Lord for it. But the next time we see the cloud, God's presence is leading his people through the promised land. Go to Exodus 13:21 with me. Exodus 13:21. I don't know about you folks, and it may go slow for you, but time sure goes fast for me when I'm trying to preach. It's just like, bam, it's gone. It's already 25 minutes after 7. I'm just kidding. It's 20 till. Exodus 13:21. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in the pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and by night. And he took not away the pillar of the cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. He was ever in their presence, wasn't he? And that picture of that cloud is the presence, the absolute presence of God. You know, his presence will cause troubles for his adversaries. Exodus 14:24-25 says, and it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and he troubled the host of Egyptians and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, listen to this, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. Can I tell you the joy and peace that you can display during these times to those that are around you, those that are within your cloud, will help them to understand that our God is a strong, loving, powerful, almighty, holy God. And they may even come to you for help, and you can lead them to the simplicity of salvation. But I will say this, sometimes when you're in a cloud, you feel like you're all alone. You do. But when you sense the presence of God, I'll tell you something. I'd rather be in the presence of God than with a crowd of friends any day. Some of my greatest times of my life are sitting on my back porch with my Bible. Now, I'm not just saying that because I'm a preacher. I'm saying it because it's true. I love meeting with the Lord. I love how I'll just simply read a passage and the sweet, blessed Spirit of God will make it come so real and true to me. It's as if, and by the way, he is, it's as if he's right there breathing the words to me and saying them. And I'm like, wow, thank you, Lord. I needed that for today. And then he gives me the ability to write it down on a little email and send it out, and thousands of people read it too. Isn't that incredible what he'll do? But when you've been in his cloud, you'll also develop a great desire to be a witness for him. Listen what Exodus 19:9 says. And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak to thee, and believe thee forever. Now what'd Moses do? And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. You know why I love to preach so much is because I know it's real. I've seen the Lord exercise the truths in my life. I applied these truths to my life because God showed them to me, and I just said, Lord, you show me and I'll do it, and with your help I'll do it. And I've done it, and he's kept every end of his bargain, every end. It's been amazing. It's been incredible. I tell you, I'll tell you what, young men and older men, just surrender to whatever God has for you. Let Him call you to preach. My dad was 57 years old when God called him to preach. He accepted the call and studied for a year and a half, pastored Calvary Baptist Church for 9 years, and went to several other little churches and helped them. Retired just about 2 years ago, just before Mom would pass away and go on to heaven, and he went home to be with Mom to help her. God can use young and old alike. But you tell people of God, amen, and then tell God about the people. You don't worry about gossiping. There's no need in that. Just you tell God about the people. Now, there's one thing more about that cloud, and really, like the first time we see it, so will be the last. A promise kept. A promise kept. In Acts chapter 1, we see Jesus ascending up into heaven in the clouds, don't we? Acts chapter 1, and that angel said, what's the matter with you? Why gaze ye up into the heavens? This same man, amen, as he's leaving in the clouds, will come back in the same manner. Now that's paraphrased, but that's what it says. He says he's coming back, and he's coming back in a cloud. Amen. I like cloudy days. Now, I know he can create a cloud when he comes. Amen. But I kind of like looking at the clouds. I don't know about you, but there's so many different pictures in the sky. I recently saw a picture. It was the most beautiful sky picture I think I've ever seen. It was incredible. It had a white cloud here, and it had the red sky here, and it had the white cloud here and the red sky. And off to the left was a little patch of a dark blue cloud. It was just like the flag in the sky. I thought, wow. But you can see so many pictures in the sky. I've seen a picture that went across the internet at one time where it looked like there were hands and an angel standing there. And I'm thinking, wow, Lord, come quickly.
Amen.
I'm ready. In Revelations chapter 10 and verse 1, the Bible says, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet pillars of fire. He's coming back with a promise. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. This book is so amazing. Study it. Look for the nuggets that's in it. I'm telling you, the joy that God gives you as you study this book will cause you to want to tell somebody about it.
Amen.
But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17, this is what we're all looking for, I myself, and I'm sure you are too. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Amen.
Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds.
Amen.
We're going for a cloud ride. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Isn't that going to be something? Amen. And then we're flying out of here like Superman. We're coming back like the Lone Ranger on a white horse. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're coming back, and I guarantee we're going to bust through the clouds. Isn't that something? Did you ever fly and go up through the clouds, and then all of a sudden you're on top of them, and to be able to look down and see that, it's so remarkable, God's creation. But He says this, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Wow. You know, because He's a promise keeper, this event is going to take place.
Right.
And it's going to happen with each and every one of us. If we're born again now and we happen to die, well, we just get to bust out of this place first, amen? Of course, our body will meet our soul and our spirit. We'll meet together there in the clouds with God. But those that are still alive, man, I don't know what it's going to be like, but it's going to be amazing. And I don't know if you ever see it in your mind or kind of picture what's going to happen. I don't know. I like to think of that day when all of a sudden, bam, there we are. And there's Jesus. And He's going to be up there saying, I tried to tell you, amen, isn't it good? It's just incredible. What a Savior. And in these days and in these times, there can be joy. Yes, there's heartache. I know it. As a pastor, there's great heartache. Pastor Janie, one of the greatest men of God I have in my life, he's in my cloud of witnesses. He's had many different people in his church get the COVID. His daughter They were afraid that the baby was going to be born prematurely, and she had the COVID, and it was attacking her liver and different things. But God just, you know, God took care of it. But there's several different people in this church that has this thing. Most of them, actually all of them that I know of, has recovered. But now he's got one, Jimmy Aubrey, that may not make it. And the pastor carries the burden, and you can hear it in his voice. Please pray, Brother Van Horn, please pray. Please get your people to pray. I've got it going out on our prayer line, so our missionaries will pray for Brother Jimmy. And yes, it's hard. But when you look at the clouds, think of his presence. Because he's here, and he's real. And he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And he said, I'll take care of you. But just as he promised that they'd never flood the world again or destroy the world, he did promise he'd destroy it with fire. So we can mark that down. That's going to take place. And he'll destroy the soul and the body and the mind of a person and the spirit of a person that's never received Christ as their Savior. And that's a promise too. And there's the promise where that person will go to heaven for just a brief time, and he'll stand in line and wait his turn at the great white throne judgment. And he'll must stand and witness the truth and witness the fact that we were right. Now, some of them may look up in the crowd and see you and say, why didn't you tell me? And some of them will look up and say, well, I wish I would have believed you. That's what I'm after. I want them to say, I wish I would have believed you instead of, why didn't you tell me? But the truth of the matter is, without Jesus Christ, without a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you will suffer eternity in the lake of fire. I didn't write the book. He just told me to tell you. So if there's someone in this room or listening by the internet, whatever it is, if you've never put your faith and trust in the God-man, Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins and rose again 3 days later, if you think you can get to heaven by your good works or your kindness or your church membership, if you think you can get to heaven any other way than through the blood of Jesus, then you, my friend, are deceived.
Right. Amen.
You must come humbly to the God of heaven, admit that you are no good, that you are a sinner, and admit to him that you believe he is who he is, and invite him to come into your heart and your body to be your Savior. And I'm glad he's a promise keeper, because he says, if you call, I'll do it. Amen.
Amen.
If you've never done that today, then take some time. Please kneel before God wherever you are and pray and just simply tell him you're sorry. Simply tell him you believe in him, you love him, and ask him to come in your heart to be your Savior. Amen. And maybe you just need to pray a little bit and say, Lord, help me to exercise the joy that I'm supposed to have as a Christian. Amen? Well, you've been a great listening tonight. If, brother, I don't know if you're up to this, but if you'd play that song again for our invitation, I'd like to have everybody stand tonight. And I don't know about you, but that song ushered in a sense of worship for me. And I'd like you to listen to the words, and if you'd like to make your way to an old-fashioned altar and thank the Lord for being on that cross for us, that'd sure be a good thing. Or maybe you'd just like to ask the Lord to help you to be a witness, to help you be a cloud for someone else. Whatever your need is tonight, I just ask you to spend a little bit of time with the Lord. You can even do it in your seat. Of course, we all know that. You can sit or stand or pray or whatever, but As this kind man sings this beautiful song, would you just begin to worship the Lord? Amen. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Drive the nails in my hands. Laugh at me where you stand. Go say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see. 'Cause I
Ain't no power on earth can tie me down. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead and mock my name. My love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me. Very soon. Yes, I'll rise again. Death can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead, say I'm dead and gone. Sun, but I will see that I am the one, 'cause I'll come again.
Yes, Lord.
Power on earth can keep me back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people back. Yes, I'll come again. Come to take my people back.